Welcome back, everybody, to We Are TPM with myself, Kyle Teixeira, sitting again next to John Teixeira.
J-Tugs.
We are back this week to discuss wholesaling. No, that is not what we're here back to discuss. We are here to discuss acquisition through wholesaling and the different caveats to that. So if you guys have any questions, want to get any advice or want anything else from We Are TPM, give us a call, 817-818-9039. Shoot us an email at showmethemoney@wertpm.com. Let's get into it, John. Acquisition through wholesaling. Do I call Costco and say I want a house?
That's a good question. You know, this follows up a great interview that we had last week, right? Steve, I think his name was Steve.
Steven.
Such a great interview that I forgot how to say his name. Steven. He really enlightened us and reminded us of the different ways that you can acquire property when you don't have your own money, right? Your own capital. And so it kind of inspired us to kind of go back through these different ways that we can acquire properties. And one of the easiest ways is through wholesaling, because there's so many wholesalers out there. And if you align with one and have a relationship with one or two or three, then you can really get some good deals come at you.
Or some bad deals.
Yeah. You know? They're not all good. That's for sure. Got to be discriminate.
And OPM, right? We're going to try to spend a few episodes diving into some of the pieces of, his new American dream.
I don't know if you could still do it the way he did it. But. Yeah.
No, a lot has changed since the early 2000s in real estate. That is for sure. But we still can do a lot of these things today. So, we've talked about wholesaling a lot, but acquisition through wholesaling, it's off-market deals, right? Let's start there. We're talking about off-market deals, and you're not going to find these on the MLS. You have to go to direct parties, on a wholesaler. Yep. So how does that really work?
Well, it's not really hard to find them. If you could Google wholesalers in my city, right? And you'll find people that'll do it. You can go on Facebook and find people to do it. Now if you don't already know somebody that's doing it, then you need to be careful, right? Because like any other industry, there's definitely some bad players, right? And going on Facebook and doing that is kind of the first place you're going to find them, right? But if you don't have a relationship, you got to start somewhere. The best place to do it is real estate investment groups. Like, go to your local Saturday morning investment group and start building relationships with local real estate agents, local investors, and wholesalers are going to be there all day. And if you know a hard money guy, ask your hard money guy for a list of wholesalers. He knows who they all are.
They work directly with them constantly. Yep. And, not just that, off-market deals. We say wholesaling, but it really all off-market deals – is a good way to do this kind of acquisitions, because you could have real estate agents who have off-market deals and things they can't put on the MLS or can't push through conventional financing. So, or you could make the mistake or learning, I'm going to call it a learning process, mm-hmm. of going on a big Facebook group in your Metroplex of investors and wholesalers and saying, I'm new to this and want to be on an email list, just put that post out there. I'm sure that'll be solved within a couple hours, So you'll get some emails. Yeah, put your email
in there. That's what you want. Yeah. You'll get emails. Hey, let's do this, Kyle. Let's describe what a wholesale deal is. How's that sound?
Yeah, so we'll take it back.
So a seller who's normally, let's call them desperate for some reason. Financially, time-wise, for some reason, they feel like they need to, or condition. Usually it's the condition of the home also. So for some reason, they feel like they need to do this. A wholesaler will reach out. I bet everybody listening right now, if they've ever owned a piece of property, has gotten a phone call from a wholesaler saying, I'm ready. I have cash ready to buy your home.
Right? I buy homes for cash.
I buy homes for cash.
Street corner.
You get letters. You get emails. I get text messages. I get them all, right? I get every single day I get these phone calls. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to catch you at the right time when something in your life will cause you to actually take action with these people, because all of a sudden now you need money or you need to sell the property and you don't want to fix it up to sell it. You don't want to deal with a real estate agent. There's all kinds of
Well, and I wouldn't call them desperate because, I mean, most of the I'd say a lot of the situations end up being desperate situations, but the real back end, you know, concept there is it's a house that you can't put on the market because it likely needs work or something, and conventional financing won't pay for houses that need fixing up, or FHA, new home buyer financing, right? Your primary target to get top dollar is people trying to live in the home. It would take likely money that the seller does not have to improve that home to make it sellable.
Well, I disagree though that you have to sell to a wholesale to do that. I mean, you can you can have an agent put that on the market as an investment property that needs TLC, that needs work, that seller's not able and willing to do repairs. You can still do that, and the same investors that are buying wholesale properties will go after those as well. And then you take out that middleman. Because as you know, that wholesaler is a middleman that usually takes a bigger chunk than any real estate agent will make, or
that you're going to make flipping
it a lot of times. Yeah. So we've seen guys on a little house take, you know, $40,000-$50,000 in the middle. So basically, back to what they're doing, they go in, they negotiate a deal with the seller for their home. So they know how much they owe on their home, if they owe anything, and they make a deal with them, usually a really low-ball deal. Sometimes the seller will have the guts to come back and say, no, I can't do that. And they'll come up with a number. They'll come up, okay, I'm going to buy your house for, you know, $80,000. And then they'll go present that home to investors like us for, you know, $150,000,
yeah,
right? Yeah. And they'll make that, you know, 80 was probably a little extreme. Maybe they're buying it for 120, 110, and they're selling it for 150. They're going to make that 40 grand in between, right? And the beautiful part for the wholesaler is if they're good at what they do, they don't ever really have to close. So what they do is they plan this. So it's what's called a one close. So they say, let's say you're going to buy it, Kyle. So they negotiate it for 110. They sell it to you for 150. It has to close by a certain date, which happens to be the same date that's on their contract with the seller. And then we go to the title company and we close all three transactions at the same time. And they never really – the wholesaler never really changes
– Well, they're more assigning it to you. So, I mean, it's supposed to be one transaction, an assignment deal.
It's done that way as well.
They still get their cut, you know. The double close situation pisses off most investors, myself included.
Well, that's how it's done though. So,
sometimes.
So, anyway, so the wholesaler doesn't put any money into the deal, and they get that $40,000 through their what we're calling an assignment fee, like you said. So that's how that's done, and that's why there's so many wholesale deals out there, because there's people out there, there's a lot of people out there that have learned how from reading books and going to seminars. They learned the value in going and putting the deal together and making more money than most people make in real estate without ever having any of your own money in the deal. And
having a lot lower risk. I mean, we're not going to discount the fact that there's marketing efforts and all these things to find these deals and all that. You know, that costs money, time, all that. But
they spend a lot of time.
You're not putting up all the money that the investor and the seller's putting up. So this is why I always suggest for any off-market deal, especially a wholesale and assignment deal, negotiate. You know, there's always – when you're talking in these scenarios, there's room for negotiation. Because at the end of the day, they convinced the seller at a price based on whatever condition that house was in, right? So – you know, it's likely closer to that number than the number they're presenting it to you at. That doesn't mean investors aren't willing to pay for certain properties. You know, there's always paying for efforts, you know.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You might ask yourself when you hear that scenario, as an investor, why can't I just go do that? You can.
You can.
You absolutely could. But here's the thing. Those wholesalers have a system, a marketing system, like you mentioned, in place. They are on the phone or paying somebody to be on the phone sometimes, whatever the case may be, constantly making hundreds, thousands of phone calls every day. They're sending out tons of letters. They have a system to market, to get their phone to ring so that they can even try to negotiate this. And then they probably are only able to negotiate one out of 10 deals that they get on the phone, right?
Yeah, not, and they're good at that. I mean, they're good at the negotiation part, right? That's where the experience comes in. So why can't I do this myself? Well, sometimes the answer might be that you wouldn't have negotiated it at 80. You might have negotiated it at 150, and then, you know,
right?
Because you wouldn't nothing known. Changed for yep. you in that scenario. You didn't know you could have got it at 80. You offered them 150, and then now you're in the same scenario.
What was it three, four weeks ago? We interviewed the mortgage banker, Shanda Pig, and that's how she got some of her first deals. Was somebody presenting these to her and doing almost exactly what we're talking about doing?
Well, so, when an opportunity falls in your lap. In yeah. most cases, it's good to take.
You know,
some
what?
Of our best deals have been, most of our best yeah. deals have been ones that have are been off market and didn't have a wholesaler in the middle, and you
and
know
somebody presented it to us. So the first lesson there is tell the universe, tell your sphere, tell the people around you what you desire.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're looking to buy homes. Tell people that so that they remember and they think of you when they see an opportunity and they come to you. Otherwise, if you just keep it to yourself and you listen to stuff like this and you're like, yeah, maybe I'll do that someday, and you don't ever tell anybody you want to do that,
well,
ain't going to happen.
I hear all the time people say, like, those handwritten yeah. perforated board signs that say we buy homes for cash. You know, everyone's like, that's so stupid. That looks so cheap, blah, blah, blah. You know what? People call and people, it works, right? That's why you see them out there. That's why everyone's seen them out there.
I started my career doing that. It wasn't we buy homes, but it was owner finance deals. And I did 40 deals a year doing just that. Handwritten signs, just like that. I even misspelled them intentionally all the time. The more I misspelled a word on there,
they think they're
the
gonna
more
get you.
Calls I got.
They
yeah.
think they're going to get one over on you, yep. and yeah, it turns out the other way around. But or maybe not the other way around. Fair deal, you know, fair deal in place. But you know, this is the, and we're not trying to dive in deep to all the nitty gritty. We've done that, and we'll do that in the future again. We're trying to get a concept here of what wholesaling is and why people do it. Because I've seen. You know, bulk wholesale deals with multiple properties, you know, you have to evaluate all this stuff. And you know, there's also, you know, when you're negotiating with wholesalers, they have a tendency to not equate the risk, right? They're like, this place needs 40 grand in repairs, so we're going to take 40 grand after the after repaired value off of it. Well, you're not letting me do inspections. You're not letting me verify how much this is going to cost.
Utilities aren't even on.
yeah, you haven't even checked all this stuff. You're just looking. You're doing probably equal to what I'm allowed to do, which is a 5-minute walkthrough and just looking at everything and making assumptions, right? Which can be great deals and can be bad deals. You know, the unknown. You know, I've had wholesale deals that we got an amazing deal on, all because the wholesaler only took the information from the tax record. So they're like, here's this 2-bedroom, 1-bath. I'm pricing all this off this being an 1,100-square-foot 2-bedroom, 1-bath. And I buy the property. After looking at it for 5 minutes, I could tell this is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and it's like 1,500 square mm-hmm. feet. But I mean, that's not my problem. I'm going to buy mm-hmm. this property. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we come out looking nice on it when they get that information wrong. But it's the same on our side. We're taking a risk. So my price should equate to the risk, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You got to have your own formula that works for you, right? You got to have your own formula. What are you trying to accomplish? Are you trying to make $10,000, $20,000 on each deal? Are you flipping it, first of all? Are you buying and holding? If you're buying and holding, then the amount of equity you end up with doesn't matter as much, right? So you just got to have your own formula, your own plan, and just work the numbers backwards according to that. If I need to make $20,000, then I need to incorporate what the after repaired value is, subtract my $20,000, subtract my purchase cost all my closing costs, all my holding costs, and my renovation costs. I got to know what all those are, subtract all those, and make sure that I didn't get to zero when I did that.
Yeah, go listen to our Those Flipping Costs episode for that, because it is it's eye-opening to most people I've talked to that have listened to it, because there's more to it. And when you're starting out in this, you know, you can get more risk-averse in the future, but a lot of people starting out in flipping or wholesaling or buying wholesale deals, they likely don't have the ability to lose $20,000, right? So, you know, if you want to make $20,000 on every deal, that's a good formula to have, but you also need to know what your potential loss is. And if you don't look at those numbers and make sure you acquire this deal with the potential, like, you can mitigate your potential loss to a certain degree. Like, all right, if I consider all these things, if I consider a possible drainage replacement or the AC replacement and all these what ifs, if I consider those in and can still make the number work, then you're mitigating most losses. Because in, you know, in an ideal world, you won't have all those unknowns happen. It's possible, but, you know, if only one or two of the five happen, then you make money off that those unknowns that didn't happen.
Kyle, I would say what we hoped to do with this episode was kind of give people a little bit of insight into how to buy or should you buy this way. And we do feel like it's a decent way to buy, especially if you're just getting into the game, right? But one of the things I think I would warn people against is stay away from the wholesalers that are the really big wholesalers that use pressure, timing and pressure to get you to make a quick decision, right? And then you show up to the property and there's 20 investors there roaming through the house. Like, just walk away. Like they're going to tell you, oh, I need an offer by the end of the hour. Like, okay, then leave. Or send them a stupid offer, you know? Just, okay, you want my offer, but then here, it's $40,000 is what, well, you know, but
pressure is what people try to put on lack of experience too. Like, you're not going to get this and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I've used that against them. You know, everything's up to negotiation in this realm, right? I got 10 investors. If you don't get it in an hour, then, you know, we're not even going to consider your offer, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, sometimes it's like, that's almost
I'll usually give a lower offer when you tell me.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, well,
playing your game.
I'm going to wait an hour and give you – now I'm going to give you a $20,000 less offer when you don't get any offers at this insane price you're asking.
And to be fair, we've been in markets, Kyle, where people have told us that and it's true, right? Like, I can tell. I've got investors I'm friends with or wholesalers I'm friends with, and they tell me, well, I got like three other investors that are looking at it right now and I think I'm going to get an offer. Like, I believe those people sometimes, right? And sometimes there is – like, if you really want this, okay, do it now, sign it now. I get it. But don't do that with somebody you don't know and don't have a relationship with and you don't trust that they're telling you the truth, and only do that if it's a great smoking deal.
Well, and I think the principal lesson there is don't change your numbers under pressure. You know, if it doesn't work and you're scared because the pressure they're putting on you, it makes you want to increase it just to get it. Then there's probably a reason.
When should you do that?
You should probably just stick to your number.
When should you do that?
What do you mean?
Change your number for pressure.
Never.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
I mean, and this is my numbers have been higher than what I know most people are going to offer before because I want the property, but money talks, right? If I know I want that property, then I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and make sure I get that property.
And there's
I've won a property by a dollar before, which is always funny to talk about, but
there's a lot of reasons to want that property, right? But you didn't change your numbers, right? That's the important thing. Like you don't change your formula. You've wanted properties before, not because of the number necessarily, but for some other reason, for location and the way you were going to use it and so forth. And so,
I mean, if it's a property like we talk about Airbnbs a lot on here, if it's a property I think can
we talk about short-term rentals?
Yeah, short-term rentals. Sorry, you give a name drop there. But if it's a property that I'm analyzing and seeing that we're expecting a net profit, yearly net profit of $40,000, then I mean, throwing an extra 10 at it on the front end to make sure that I get it is 2-3 months of time, right? You know, it's way less risky. We're on a flip. You really have a line in the sand. It needs to make this much money or I'm underwater.
Yep.
So you don't always have those freedoms, and then you don't know who you're competing with. You could be competing with someone like me in that situation who doesn't care what I pay. Well, if I don't care what I pay and you have a line in the sand number, well, chasing my number is probably not going to be in your best interest, you know, because you don't have the same purpose. Because and we say this, not every wholesaler does the whole you have an hour and we're picking the highest one. You know, some of them actually do, you know, open up negotiations.
Some of them say, hey, I'm showing it tomorrow at 2 and I've got to have something by the end of the week. And, you know, I mean, they're reasonable. I mean, it's all very fast. Mm-hmm. All wholesale deals, you have to act fast. It's when you have to act within an hour that I usually have red flags.
Well, and here's a huge thing that I actually tell people, since we're talking about the process, is whether they're real estate agents or whether they work for an agency, 99.9% of the time, you need to remember that regardless of their status as a real estate agent, they are not your real estate agent. You are not their client. They are not obligated to advise you in pretty much every case.
You're talking about the wholesaler?
Yes, the wholesaler or the agent that
even
works
worse
for the wholesaler.
Than that, Kyle, most wholesalers don't have a real estate license.
That's true.
But almost all of them don't.
But
you've been dealing with some that do, but I'm here
I've
to tell you.
I've dealt with some that present it
don't.
As if they do, and they don't. But the point is that even if they do, even if they are realtors, a lot of people think, well, they're a realtor, they have an obligation to advise me. And I'm like, no, they do not.
Nope, they don't.
Unless you signed a buyer's rep agreement with them and they're calling you your client, then they're probably not the wholesaler in that scenario. Now, there are realtors, like for example, you have presented wholesale deals to your client and added a real estate commission on it. That is normal, but they're your client at that point.
I wouldn't call that a wholesale deal. It's just an off-market deal. It's presented as a traditional deal, and I'm not wholesaling it in the sense that a wholesaler does, taking an assignment fee in the middle and all that. In essence, it's all the same. You're right, but I'm taking a normal real estate commission that people expect to pay.
Well, and I say that because there's contracts involved in this, right? So they're giving you a price and you're giving them an offer. Well, before you sign that assignment, know the contract you're assigning yourself to, right? Because that is how most of these assignment deals work. Well, I'm assigning a contract at $100,000. Now my offer is $100,000, and then they're like, okay, we accept your offer. They send you the assignment letter, but no contract. Well, okay, I need to see the contract that I'm now putting my name on.
Do not ever sign an assignment letter without seeing the contract, ever.
And then you see the contract and it says buyer is set to pay the back taxes for the last 2 years. So seller hasn't paid their taxes in 2 years. Okay, that's another $7,000 that now you're responsible to pay. You're paying closing costs. You're paying, you know, whatever. There could be anything written in these contracts.
Well, that's one of the common themes of these deals that people need to understand when they buy a wholesale deal is it's written so that the buyer – then you're now the buyer, pays for everything.
Yeah.
Everything under the sun. The title policy that the seller normally pays for, survey, anything at all that you need that like you said, back taxes, maybe everything.
Well, that's a common one. Like you said, desperation is part of these situations a lot. Well, when you have 2 years of back taxes, you could be weeks away from getting your house taken over back taxes. So the wholesale route is quick enough that they can at least get some money out of this property before they lose it to make up for that. So I see that commonly. And, you know, there could be something written in there that you pay an extra assignment fee or a transaction fee. You know, you never know. These contracts are off-market deals that could be anything.
Yep. So. Yep. If you have a house like this with a bunch of equity, then you need some help, call us.
Yeah.
Show me the money.
Give us a call.
LairGPM.com.
817-818-9039. If you want more advice on wholesaling and whether a wholesale deal is good, we're happy to help with that as well. Shoot us an email. showmethemoney@wertpm.com. It was fun talking to you about this, John.
I wasn't trying to shut down the conversation. I was just sitting here thinking, maybe somebody's got one of these deals. I'm ready to go. Let's go.
I think we advised as much as we could on this. I mean, you got to look out. You got to look out. So,
I love it. Fun
if you're
stuff.
Desperate, if you're desperate, sometimes a wholesaler is a good route. We weren't saying it wasn't.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And we are out.